As we said before, we're kind of getting ready for opening day this week on Thursday, and to do that, we're going to preview a lot of the area teams that we care about, and among those, first and foremost, is the Chicago White Sox. We've got a very special guest on the line with us, a White Sox legend, 1983 Rookie of the Year. He is Ron Kittle. Ron, thank you so much for being with us. We do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Glad to be on.
Tell me a little bit, how excited do you get about opening day when it's time of year?
You know, outside of baseball, not a whole lot, not until the first pitch is thrown. Then you kind of get the little butterflies in you. But, you know, when you've been out for a long time, you become a fan.
Yeah.
So you really focus on staying warm when you're sitting in the stands.
So do you follow them pretty avidly? Do you follow the Sox avidly and baseball as a whole? Or are you just kind of a casual fan now?
Well, I work for the Sox full time. So, you know, I pay attention to every box score, every video. You know, I'm on their mailing list, so I see all the current transactions and everything, and you know, I want them to win. I think they really got a good young team. You know, some of these young kids for the last couple of years, they're men now, and I think with Ricky Renteria has taught them and their ability, they're going to be playing a lot of better baseball.
Hey, Ron, it's Paul. It's great to talk to you again. It's been a while. One of those young players is Eloy Jimenez, and we had talked about, I said to Randy before the show started, it's been like 30 years since they've tried to replace you out in left field, and maybe that's this guy right here. What you've seen of him, what you know about Eloy, what do you think are his chances for this first year, and how well do you think he can do?
Well, he's going to be making $44 million more than I did, my $30,000.
Right.
You know, he's a big kid. I saw him a couple times at the All-Star game when I went down there and I did a speaking event and headlined their banquet. He's got some talent. The guy is not afraid to swing. And one thing that he did do that, you know, when you hear stories and you talk to other people, he grew up playing with better players all the time. So, I mean, that's a cycle of life. If you're a golfer and you play with bad golfers, you're going to golf bad. You play with good golfers, you're going to get better. He's got some people behind him who are telling him this is what he needs to be done. He's got a great bat. I mean, he's going to hit the ball. I think he's a better addition to the team who we were trying to go after earlier where everybody got a little bit upset. And, you know, he might have some struggles, but his bat is alive, and he can hit the ball a long way and hard, and I think he just blends in good with the team.
Well, Ron, like I said earlier, you were a Rookie of the Year in 83, and Eloy is probably one of the favorites to get that award in the American League. And so would you have any advice as to how to handle, I mean, you obviously handled it very well that first season. Any advice to him as to how to handle your first year in the major leagues?
You know, I've talked to him. I tried to get him to work on his autograph a little bit. It looks like chicken scratch, but, you know, people, matter of fact, everybody's autograph in the big leagues looks like chicken scratch right now because they don't care. But he's got a gift, and you can see it. I mean, he's a big man. The ball jumps off his bat. I've had some scouts say that, you know, he's a little, you know, when he was in single A, double A, climbing the ladder up the top, he was a little lackadaisical in the outfield. I don't know. I didn't see that because you kind of get bored when you're good, and he was like a man playing amongst boys in double A. And, you know, he wants to climb the ladder. He wants to get to the big league, which is really good because there's people out there who play in the minor leagues, have success. They go, I want to stay in double A. I want to go to triple A. No, you want to get to the top. And, you know, he's got a good following. He's got people behind him who's going to push him to make him better. And I think he's just going to get better. And I think he's going to blossom into a good ball player. And, you know, if he stays healthy and does what he's capable of, you know, the Rookie of the Year award could be right in his lap.
Hey, Ron, talking about your career again, it's funny because my son and I, and he's 19 and he's a huge White Sox fan like I am, but we had this conversation when we were in New York a couple weeks ago, and he asked me, he goes, Dad, who are your five favorite White Sox players? And, you know, I named Britt Burns and Mark Burley and Paul Konerko and Ray Durham, and I said, Ron Kittle is right up there amongst my favorite, and now we're having you on the show. But you resonated with a lot of fans through the course of your career with the White Sox, and I know you had a couple, two, three stints with the team, but you were a fan favorite, and I don't know if you ever had a chance to reflect on that. I wonder why you resonated with the fans as well as you did. Have you ever thought about that?
Well, you know, I was kind of a local guy out of Gary, Indiana. You know, I came in from a blue-collar family, iron worker. you know, and I was thrilled. I mean, every day I went to the game. I mean, I know you're going to suck sometimes and you're going to do good. But I know it'll all turn around in the end. And I think I had the same attitude when I was 18 years old as I do right now. I mean, I wanted to be the hero every single night. And I said that right along. And I said, I know I'll fail more than anything. But, you know, I wanted to stay healthy. And, you know, and I had some serious injuries when I started my career. And, you know, coming back from a broken neck, I probably should have never been in the big leagues, let alone minor leagues. But, you know, I turn things around and I try to put a positive on everything. But I'm blatantly honest. So if you ask me something, I posted it yesterday on Facebook. I said, you know, take the chill pill or whatever it is. If you ask me a question, I'm going to give you an answer. You might get hurt from it, but it'll be the truth. And I think the fans absorb that, you know, but I stay active in the community. You know, I'm an ambassador for Chicago White Sox, so I'm doing something all the time. And, you know, it's my role. I'm proud of it. I can't change. I can't be something else. But, you know, people say, well, I didn't get an autograph from you this year. I said, you know, my attitude changes upon how you contact me. So if you're a jerk to me, I know quickly you're going to be a jerk and you're not getting anything from me. But all in all, I wake up every morning. I want to be a positive factor in my life and everybody else's life, and I want to enjoy it.
You mentioned, Ron, a little bit about when we talk about the money there. I'm curious if you'd be willing to tell us, what was the most money you ever made when you're playing days, and how much you think you'd be making if you'd be playing today?
You know, I made $72,400 ironworking in 1976. I made $30,000 when I got to the big leagues in 83.
Oh,
so, you know, there's a big cut and pay right off the get-go.
But, yeah.
You know, I was not a suspect, but I was a risk. You know, you come back from a broken neck and
sure.
You know, you're a liability, so you're not going to get the big pay scale. With my average and the home runs and everything, you know, there's no doubt I'd be in the big million-dollar contracts. But, you know, I yell at my mom for that, you know, too early. but you know what? I was just glad to get a paycheck. I had a great time. I made some good friends. Did I make enemies? I probably did. But, you know, that's part of the cycle, because when you get to the top, it's a jealousy thing from your friends. You know, and I've lost a lot of friends when I got to the big leagues. You know, like, he's too good for us. But, hey, I'm the same guy I was 18 as I am right now at 61 years old.
Hey, Ron, I wanted to ask you about the Cubs and White Sox rivalry. I have so many friends who are Cubs fans, including Jordan here, our producer. And, I mean, there's such a rivalry there. And I saw again yesterday on Facebook the White Sox announced that they're going to have, like, tattoo night or something like that coming up this season. And, you know, there were Cubs fans that jumped on this and were trolling Sox fans about all 30 of you are going to get tattoos that night at the park. And what do you think of this rivalry, and especially now that the Cubs finally are a good team again? And what do you hear out in the community when you're, you know, at the games or when you're talking to other people? I mean, is the rivalry where it should be? Could it be different or better?
Well, you know what? Every city that has two teams in it, there's a rivalry. It's no doubt. You know, all the Cubs fans already got their little, you know, baby cub on their arm or their butt or something like that. You know, their tattoos, so they don't have to go out there and get any new ones. But, you know, it's fun. I mean, we're all players. Once you take your uniform off, I've eaten dinner with Ryan Sandberg, you know, you name it. We're all friends. But when you put a uniform on, you want to go out there and compete and win for your side of the block. I think the fans go a little overboard on something, you know, cheering, you guys, you know, do this, you stink, whatever. Thank God the Cubs won a World Series, I swear. You know, because I grew up watching WGN, Jack Brickhouse, everybody. I'm a baseball fan, and I'm glad our city absorbed a winning thing with the White Sox in 2005. I want to see the White Sox do it again. I don't care if the Cubs ever do it. You know, if they pay me enough money to move to the other side, I'll be rooting for the Cubs. But and I'm not getting a tattoo. You know, I can pretty much tell you that. yeah, I have no plans on that. But I thought it was just a little clever marketing ploy. The White Sox will pay for it. I mean, somebody told me, you're going to get one. I said, they ain't got enough money. They'd have to pay me Eloy money for me to sit there and get a tattoo.
Speaking of the Sox now, I mean, they're a team that now basically on a rise after, in essence, a tank. And I'm kind of curious what you think about this whole tanking system, this whole tanking theory. I mean, it worked for the Astros. It worked for the Cubs. Now it seems like everybody wants to go that route. Do you think that is the right way to go? Do you think that's the modern way to go, or do you really hate it?
Well, it's been doing this for a long time. I remember when I was with the Cleveland Indians in 88, and we had a pretty decent team. Then all of a sudden, they got rid of anybody making over $500,000. I think they lost 109 games that year or something. It was ugly. I mean, it was sad for them. I was hurting for the players on the opposing team. But you have to create something out there because there's always somebody better. There's somebody who's an average player one day, you know, on one team, comes to another team, and he blends in a little bit better with the current team, and he becomes a superstar. You know, I think that's the avenue. It's just, you know, you're one or two pitches away from winning or losing a ball game every single day in the big leagues. Whether you're the winner or the loser, one pitch, one check swing could come in to play and win a ball game. And I think it's been a cycle, and I think you're going to continue to see that. And Houston's a great example of it. You know, you've seen a lot of teams like that.
Ron, a lot of fans were upset about how the Machado thing ended up. And, you know, I think we got excited because we thought that was a real possibility, especially signing, you know, his brother-in-law and then John Jay, his friend as well. But, you know, Randy had asked me after it happened what I thought about it. And I said, you know, I'm really not that disappointed. I mean, he would have been a nice addition. I mean, would he have helped immediately? I don't know. I still think it takes more than one player. And I just think they can use those resources in other areas. And, you know, if these guys come through the system like we think they will, I mean, we're not going to miss them. And I still like Tim Anderson at short. What are your thoughts about free agency and what they did and what they didn't do?
Well, I thank God that we didn't get him because I've seen him play off and on. You know, not every day. I didn't follow him in the box score that much. But I've seen him play on TV. I've seen him play live. I personally didn't like his attitude. You know, I'm sure he's a very gifted person. I think the White Sox, they have some players who are only going to mature and get stronger and get better, and they're going to surpass him. So, you know, I blew that off the wind. I mean, there's a lot of fans that took that personal. But you know what? All those fans, it's not their money. I mean, that's a heap of money to be throwing out there for somebody who – might be just a question. Like I said, free agency is there. Mike Trout, I just saw an interview on him early this morning about his money, and it's, what was it, $426.5 million he got. They were trying to clarify that. But, you know, he's probably one of the best players in the game right now. Mookie Betts, his contract's going to be up in a year or so, and what's he going to get if he can continue to stay healthy and stay strong and, you know, have great potential. But, you know, free agency out there, it brings excitement. It sells jerseys. You know, somebody said there was like 116,000 Harper jerseys sold in Philly the day he agreed to sign. I mean, it's all marketing, but you got to win on the ball field.
Ron, you got any interesting or funny stories from your playing days? Maybe like the Rookie of the Year season or the 83 season with the playoffs?
Yeah, I got like about 20 years of funny stories.
And how many can you say on the air?
But you know what? You know, I play with a lot of characters, you know, and I can pretty much tell you some of the best players I've ever played with in the minor leagues never get to the big leagues because they do something stupid. And I was pretty much trying not to do too many things stupid. So, but we had a guy, and this is one of my favorite. I was a catcher coming up through the minor leagues, and I caught Lamar Hoyt, Britt Burns, Richard Dotson, all in the minor league. So, you know, they went up, and we went up, and some guy named Fisk, you know, signed a long-term contract, so my catching days were over with. But we had this guy named Mark Platel, and this guy was like 6'6". His hands as big as my steering wheel on my car, and he threw 120 miles an hour, it seemed like. I didn't even like to catch this guy. And he was like 7-0, you know, 9-10 strikeouts every game. But he wore Daisy Dukes. This is a big guy. And he wore work boots. So I nicknamed him Boots. And one night in the minor leagues in Double A, and this guy's, he's like Nolan Ryan caliber. Mm-hmm. The pinball machine tilted on him, and he punched his hand through it and tore every tendon in his arm and everything else. And, never threw another pitch the rest of his life. So those are the things that come across in life. You know, don't do nothing stupid. You know, let the other people do it, and your chances to move up to the top will be better.
Hey, Ron, fill people in on what you're doing today or these days. I know you're with the White Sox. You said full time. You also, you know, are involved with charity work. You have your own business where you make handcrafted items. Tell people how you keep busy during the days.
You know what? I sleep 3-4 hours a day, a night. I don't even know if I'm calling it a night. I just get up. My body aches. But, you know, ronkittle.com and ronkittlecharities.org are two things that I really focus on. There's nothing I can't make, you know, so I get commissioned to make pieces of art for retiring players on all the teams, you know, especially with the White Sox. I'm going to probably create something for Harold Baines. I did it for Frank Thomas, Jim Tomey. I stay very active, you know, keep me busy, keep me out of trouble. You know, I got a great shop. I'm a fanatic about my yard. I can't talk about my dog because I had to put him down. And Harley Pooch, after 11 years, I like my dog better than my kids, and my kids knew it. you know, I told them if they were drowning and so was the dog, I said, you guys better swim your panties off. I'm getting the dog. And, you know, life has been pretty good to me. You know, I have my aches and pains, so that's probably why I don't sleep a lot. But I try to wake up every day with a positive attitude. I don't hang around negative people. You got something bad to say, go hang around your own friends. And it's just disappointing. But, you know, if you want to get ahead, you got to work at it. It's my OCD and my ADHD all in one. My yard is perfect. I just like things nice, and I take care of everything, and I take care of my friends and everybody else.
Ron, one last question for you. We really do appreciate you being with us. This has been a great interview. Give me now, since we're ready to start the season, your prediction about the Sox. Where could they finish? The AL Central is kind of, man, you almost unanimously decided as the weakest division in baseball, so they have their best chance basically getting by the Cleveland Indians, the biggest hurdle. But where can these Sox finish this year?
Well, you know, it's hard to go out on a limb because you can't justify if somebody gets hurt. But I tell you what, they will be a lot better than they were last year. Out of spring training, I thought they had some good stuff last year. A couple little key injuries, a couple components that just didn't work. Right now, everybody's firing on, you know, full speed ahead. They're going to play better than last year. And I think when you say that, they're going to, you know, there's 10 ball games throughout this whole course of the season that it could be a question. They're going to lose. This year, those 10 games that they were going to lose, they're going to win this year. So that bumps them up another 10 spots in the box score. But, you know, we all know 10 games you're going to get tallywhacked really bad. You're going to tallywhack another team 10 games throughout the course of the season. So really, the whole season is divided into about 30 ball games. So you got to be good at those 30 ball games.
All right. Well, he is Ron Kittle, 1983 Rookie of the Year, White Sox legend. Again, Ron, we really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And, best of luck with all your ventures, and best of luck to the White Sox, too. And thank you so much for being with us.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Have a great day, guys.
All right,
thanks, Ron. You too.